Blog Talk Radio.
I met a butterfly once.
Come talk about you. Come talk about me. Come talk about I. Come talk about you. Come talk about she. Come talk about they. Come talk about me. Come talk about way. Come talk about you. Come talk about me. Come talk about I.
I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about swag, I'm talking about this, and I'm talking about her, cause she know she bad, she wanna make a dance, just play her song, sure they gon' go hard, they talking about bands, but I can't you though,
why?
Man, it's stress too long, instant in court, what I call my team, and another guy like me, trying to still be sexy.
Hello, welcome to Real Talk Radio, that's what I'm talking about today. You were listening to the sounds of Bishop and his song, Talking About. Decided to open up the show a little different today than usual. You know, poetry is so mellow, but I need to get everyone hyped. I need everyone to just dance a little bit, let the blood flow through your veins. That's what I need right now. I need you to just sit up in your chair and listen, because today is an awesome show. An awesome, awesome, awesome show. On the air today with me, none other than author, entrepreneur, philanthropist, Heather Johnson. So excited. Love talking to Heather. She's such a little sweetheart. Love it, love it, love it. So, those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kimberly Sherrell, also known as Kay Sherrell, America's favorite Southern Belle. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday. Oh, my goodness, what an emotional week. That's all I can say. It has been a roller coaster. I don't really know what happened to America on Tuesday, but we are still divided. And that makes me, I don't know, it makes me a little sad. I don't like the division amongst us. Like, we're not Democrats or Republicans anymore. At this point, we are citizens of the United States of America under the direct leadership of none other than President Barack Obama. Love it, love it, love it. Received an email today that they are already talking about tickets for the inauguration, so I'm a little sad. I was at the first inauguration of President Obama. It was truly a moving time for me. I really did enjoy myself. I nearly froze to death because when I landed in D.C., it was 8 degrees that morning, the day before the actual inauguration. The day of, I believe, wind chill factor had us at 4 degrees. So it was worth, you know, the frostbite and everything to see him be sworn in. Hopefully I will make it back this go round. Not so sure if I will or not. 2 Chainz has been getting a lot of attention with the reelection of Barack Obama, and that is directly related to Jeezy, who wrote the song. I'm sure everyone remembers about the My President is Black. And so now with, you know, 2 terms, now everyone is talking about 2 Chainz, which I always find it so funny how people directly relate rappers to serious issues of the world. But hey, that is America. Those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk Radio, your host, Kay Sherrell, and I'm, of course, still having fun online looking at pictures from, you know, when the announcement came that President Obama was reelected. That Republican headquarters, oh my, you could have dropped a pin in the room and heard it bounce 3 times. That's how quiet everyone was. I was on the edge of my seats. I was very, very sleepy until I saw that number count just keep going up and up and up. But what happened to Florida? Will someone please hit me up on Facebook, Kay Sherrell, on Facebook, or on Twitter, at Kay Sherrell, and let me know what happened to Florida yet again. I really don't understand what is going on in that southern state. Let's get it together, people, before the next election. Let's definitely do that. One of the other topics that has been streaming across the internet, none other than Juliana Rancic of E! News. She is definitely in talks of having another surrogate baby. As you all know that, well, those of you who don't know, she struggled with infertility for many years. And last year was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she is currently in remission now. And so she was unable to have a child of her own. And so she had a son, Duke, that was born via surrogate, and he is 2 or 3 months old at this time. The numbers are conflicting that I see. I believe he is 3 months. So she's already talking about having another baby, and I'm so happy for them. Being a mother is very, very, very rewarding. So at this time, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to let you listen to the poetry of Trinda B. Poetry. If you missed her interview, you definitely want to go to the website and check it out. And when I come back on the air with me, none other than Ms. Heather Johnson. Stay with me.
For the first time, I opened the eyes of my soul, and behold, I saw you standing there. A vision of love never known until that second. For so many years, I wondered and waited on what love truly felt like. It seemed there was this missing element out of my world, so much so that it haunted me in my sleep at night. I'd wake up in cold sweats, and my heart would cringe to be blessed with a feeling that I started to believe did not really exist. And then you appeared, and every hidden desire and secret you knew, things I knew for sure I never hinted nor described to you. How could you know to kiss me there? Or how could you know just where to touch me? How to love me in that very way?
Thank you for staying tuned. This is Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kay Sherrell, America's favorite Southern Belle. And on the air today with me, none other than the spectacular, the phenomenal, the infamous author, entrepreneur, philanthropist, Heather Johnson. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I am my usual extra hyper self on a Thursday. I'm telling you, Zuma gets me a little too crunk for radio every single week. Might need to quit. So I wanted to very quickly let you introduce yourself to all of the listeners out there that are not as familiar with you as I am.
I'm trying to stay away from everything that you said, but for the most part, I'm Heather Johnson. I am a self-published author. My novel is entitled The First Day of the Rest of My Life, How My Thorns Became My Story. And I can be honest and open and say the book was something that was never on my to-do list. So an author was something that I personally didn't expect to be, but it happened. And since it's happened, it's opened so many other doors for me. I'm a mother. I'm a single parent. And life is good for the most part. I'm experiencing a lot of new things, so I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm in a learning stage right now. But the person that Heather Johnson is a lover, I'm a giver, and I'm pretty much down to earth for the most part.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. So where are you from?
I am born and raised from Albany, Georgia, small town. I don't consider it small because it's big at heart, but we're a small town in the southwest Georgia area.
That's what I'm talking about, Southern Belles. All my listeners know I love talking to Southern Belles. Not that I don't embrace, you know, a Yankee every now and then, but I definitely love a Southern Belle. There's something about, I don't know, the South that gives you this little added edge. Everyone thinks people in the South are so sweet, and I don't know, just think we're so mild and meek, and I'm just thinking to myself, you don't know what's happening. That smile.
Okay.
You don't have that smile, boo. That's all I'm going to say. So your book, The First Day of the Rest of My Life, How My Storms Became My Story. That title in itself is a mouthful. Where did the title come from?
Oh, my God. The title itself came from just trials and things that I've had to overcome personally in my life, things that a lot of people that know me personally didn't even realize I had gone through. It came from a deep place, a dark place. It came from a hurt place because before writing this book, I had gone through so much. And in my writing, it was a way of release. It was a way of me letting all of those things go and being able to move on. So that's how my storms, you know, became my story. And it was just an overall emotional roller coaster for me. But I'm glad I took it.
And that, you know, there's something to be said with embracing your storms. A lot of people fight their storms, they resent their storms, but you need a little rain sometimes in order for flowers to grow.
Yes.
That's how life, you know, you don't get a rainbow without a little rain. So you have to embrace your storms. And so I love the fact that you took something negative and turned it into so many positive things. I love that. So what storms are you talking about in the book?
I talk about the things that people think about and have gone through but will never reveal it to other people for the fear of being ostracized or the fear of being shunned or being ashamed. I'm unashamed about anything that I've done in my life because all of those things, whether we like it or not, they are part of what makes us who we are. I try my best not to look at the things that I've gone through as taboo or, oh, my God, I can't believe I did this, or regret, because I learned something from those things, and I just take everything that I've gone through as a learning experience.
Okay, so let's get a little bit deeper into it. What are two specific storms that you discuss in the book?
I discussed being in an abusive relationship, which is one. I discussed the physical and emotional abuse. I also discussed adultery.
So let's talk about the abusive relationship, because there are many men and women, young and old, that are in unhealthy relationships. And shame is one of the things that keeps people in those relationships. We know that people are ashamed to admit to someone else that someone is hurting them, either physically or emotionally. They have this fear of being the blame for what is going on, and so that fear and that shame will keep the person in there. And so obviously you had enough courage to get out, but let's talk about what was that process of, okay, this is unhealthy, and get it out, and why did you decide to talk about it?
First of all, I was young. I was in high school when I was in the abusive relationship. And for many teenagers that are in relationships, you don't know. You're clueless as to what it is to really be involved with someone on an emotional level, considering love and all of those other things. And I was kind of naive about it initially, but what really brought it to my attention, well, hey, this is getting a bit out of hand, is when I would hear his friends say, well, you know, everything you do, he knows. Everywhere you go, he knows, you know. And I took it for granted. Yeah, you know, I'm just listening. Okay, y'all just playing. You know, it's not that serious. You know, he doesn't watch me like that. But in actuality, it was just that serious. When I had to start hiding scars from my parents and covering my arms, you know, with jackets in school so that my friends wouldn't see the bruises, it was a little bit too far gone then.
Yeah. So what was the aha moment? This isn't healthy for me. Something has to change.
Oh, the aha moment for me was when he told me if he couldn't have me, no one could. And there were acts leading up to it, and there were red flags that I saw, but I didn't want to acknowledge. And it added up to one day, it just boiled over. And when I tried to leave, he didn't let me. He wouldn't let me. And he physically jumped on me. He physically attacked me. And all I could remember that day was, God, if you let me get out of this, you won't have to worry about me dealing with this person anymore. I was literally about to pass out because he was choking me, like literally choking me. And I don't know where I got the strength from, but I did get the strength to get him off of me. Mind you, this is a 6'3", 200-pound young man.
Yeah.
And so once I got the strength to get him off of me, from that day to this, I made up in my mind that I would not relive that. I would not go back into that place because that's not a good place to be. I mean, you can hear people tell you all day long, well, you know, it's not healthy. You need to leave it alone. He's no good for you. You know, you shouldn't be subject to this kind of abuse. But until you realize it and recognize it and admit it and accept it, the change won't happen.
Yeah, I can agree with that from individuals that I've worked with that have been in those relationships, and I'm definitely happy that you were able to get out of the unhealthy relationship, and I hope that someone listening to this episode right now will be encouraged by your story enough to press on if they are in such relationship. Now, the other issue that you mentioned was adultery. Adultery in your book. Now, that is definitely a taboo subject. That is a taboo subject. People will talk about it behind your back, but no one will really talk about it to your face. It's not one of those things that is really up for discussion.
Yeah. And without us giving away the book, because I know people are like, oh, my God, you know, it's like they're jumping all over the place. But you have to get the book in order to really, really understand my life and the direction in which my life was going. I was very mature to be my age. I always planted myself around people that were older than me. And for that reason, I feel like I was subject to a lot of the things that happened in my life. The adultery is one of those things, but at the point that it started, it was harmless, and it was a friendship. And that's always the case. Like I say, I was young. And I can be honest, and I can speak about where I've been and the things that I've gone through. I was a 14-year-old girl and introduced to a 24-year-old man who had just recently come off of his cruise from his honeymoon.
Wow.
And yeah, meeting this man, you know, it was strictly a mutual person who knew us both, and we all had something in common. And a lot of people that know me know that I dabble in music, and I sing and I write. So those were the things that connected us. And initially, this person befriended me, and 2 years down the line, after I turned 16, I lost my virginity to this person.
Wow. And he was still married.
He was still married. Years went by, and we continued. I would always be the person to say, oh, my God, this is not right. You know, we can't do this. We got to stop. And some way and somehow it would always start back up again. We would always end up back in that same place. And it's not just his fault. And a lot of people get it twisted. We all make decisions in life. And just as well as he made a decision, I made a decision as well. And I knew better because I was raised to know right from wrong. I knew better, but at the time, just circumstances in my life and the things and the place that I was in, I felt the need, you know, to do this. And just fast forward to now. My daughter, who is on, she'll be 7 years old next month, she's the product of that relationship.
Wow.
So you can imagine the years. You can add up the years and imagine how long this thing went on. And a lot of people, they say, you know, oh, it's your fault, you know, this and that and the other. But at what point, like with me, I felt, yes, I participated willingly. And, yes, I played a role in this. But at one point in the situation, and this was early on, I feel as though it was taken advantage of. Okay, this, you know, she's young, she don't really know no better, so I'm going to take it for what it is. And me not knowing, I played along with it, and I went along with it until I got older and realized, okay, this is what it is. And I accepted it because it had happened, it had been going on for so long. I accepted it. And I think a lot of women get stuck and they feel like, well, I have to do this. I'm obligated to this person, and you're not obligated to that person. They don't belong to you. They never did. And you have to decide on whether you're going to continue to settle or you're going to understand that at the end of the day, this person is only tied to the person he said I do to.
That is very true. And, I mean, in a sense, like listening to the story, it's typical, and it's going to sound a lot worse than what it is. Well, I guess it really is. It's going to sound what it is. You were basically groomed. You were groomed. I mean, it's the same as what it is in, you know, in child molestation cases, because even though at some point you became a willing participant, but at the age of 14, this was the relationship that he started to groom you for.
Yeah.
So, you know, you hold responsibility at some point, but, I mean, at the same token, you don't hold, you know, responsibility because you were a minor. And, it, you know, he was definitely at fault for that. But, again, this is something that you've turned into something positive. And I know without a doubt that these are some, you know, life lessons that you will be able to tell your own daughter about, so that, you know, that will end with you. It will not be one of those cycles that will continue on from generation to generation.
And I think that's the stigma that comes with it. People feel like, okay, well, it's going to keep happening. No. You decide, you make the decision on what direction your life is going to take. You make a decision on how this cycle is going to end. You know, you have to look at the big picture. These are things that I've done, but this is not who I am. And I think once people realize that, they won't beat themselves up so much about it.
Definitely, definitely. We are not our past. We are definitely our destined future. That is something you have to remember. Those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk Radio. Your host, Kay Sherrell, and I'm talking to none other than Heather Johnson. And our time is dwindling down, but my final question to you, Heather, is what do you want your legacy to be? What would you like for your daughter to remember about you outside of just being her mom, but also as?
I think I would want her to remember most that even though life throws things at you, and she can look at me because she's lived some of those things with me, even though life throws things that at you unexpectedly, it's not about the hits that you take, but it's about the perseverance and the way that you come out of those things and the way that you allow yourself to bounce back and to keep moving. I always tell her, you know, giving up is not an option, because I've learned, and my pastor tells me all the time, you know, the easiest thing for somebody to do is to give up, but it takes something for you to stand. And I think that speaks when you can't speak. So
yeah.
I just allow that to be an example for her.
That is awesome. That is very awesome. So right now, please tell everyone listening where they can find your book and how they can find more information on you, your Facebook and Twitter and all that information.
You can find me on Facebook at Author Heather Johnson. You can also find me on Twitter at Jay Latrell, JAILATRELL. You can find me pretty much a lot of different places because I have a lot going on. With everything that the book has done, you can also find the book on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it on your iPad. You can get it on BarnesandNoble.com, BooksAMillion.com. It's also available now in the UK. So for all of those people that are overseas, make sure you get your copy. Anybody in the Albany area, you can personally get it from me. You can get a signed copy, and you can purchase it from me as well. I do take cash, no checks. I also take credit cards. So I think that for anybody who wants to know more about someone who has really came out of a lot of things and allowed their pain and their suffering and their hurts and the things that they had to hurdle over become something positive and become something that they can be proud of, I think this is a great motivator, and I think it's a great book of encouragement and a testament that, you know, nothing is always as bad as it seems, not just because I wrote it, but because I've lived it. And I think that it's a great learning tool. I even learned things about myself in reading it. So I suggest those of you that really want to get into the story to read it and, you know, take away the thought process of prejudging before you pick it up, because I promise you, you won't think about it the same way after you're finished.
All right. That is excellent. So everyone go out and see of The First Day of the Rest of My Life, How My Storms Became My Story by Heather Johnson. I want to just say thank you, Heather, so much for being on the air with me today. I truly enjoyed the interview. Those of you who are still listening, please do not tune away. There is still more Real Talk Radio to come. I have just a few seconds left, but I definitely want to spotlight this deal of the week. You can go on Frugal Girl Freebies on Facebook.com, and there are a couple of good freebies listed for this particular week. One is a free sample from Folgers of their new line of coffee, and I am a coffee freak. I love, love, love coffee, and so a free sample of coffee is wonderful. And also, do not forget to take your children to get their free haircut from JCPenney. You can find out more information about that on jcp.com, and that is on Sundays. So check with your local JCPenney and make sure that they are participating and what their times are. So I am running out of time just so very quickly. I'm telling you, time flies when you're having fun, and I've been share with all of you. Thank you. Join me next week. I'm your host, Kay Sherrill with Real Talk Radio. One love.